I found it kind of funny that Bill was asking the kids if they were what they were afraid of, and one of the kids said their dreams. I had a dream last night that it was Easter Sunday, and I woke up and realized I had forgotten to come to the sunrise service. Yeah. Strange. Over the last few weeks, we've been talking about people who are in desperate straits, who finally turn to Jesus, and we've been talking about the conditions that cause Jesus to respond to them. And we've talked about hunger, and we've talked about sinking, and today we will talk about sickness. Now, this week, as I was doing my usual perusing of the TV that happens from time to time, came across the movie Leap of Faith, which is a great movie, stars Steve Martin. He gives this totally great performance as a kind of a charlatan faith healer who rolls into a struggling Texas town. And of course, I have to watch it because it's a great movie. Got a great ending, and I'm not going to give it away. But at times, especially as someone who is a pastor, who is clergy, it can be a kind of a difficult movie to watch. Because you sit and you watch these good people who are desperately looking for hope fall under the charm of Steve Martin's character. And you watch them hand over to him their rapidly dwindling remaining cash. And one of the things that makes it so hard to watch is that the movie is actually loosely based on many tales of the traveling faith healer. And these men and women gain, and not all of them, some of them, gain their fame by having the healing gift. And then they travel around and they pad their bank accounts and live a lifestyle that bears little resemblance to that of the one that Jesus lived. And no, I probably should pause and say, don't get me wrong. I believe in healing. And I believe that some people have a special gift from God that when they pray and lay their hands on people, something happens and healing occurs. And I've seen it, but most of the experiences of the laying on of hands and healing happen have been humble affairs. They've been from people who would never dream of publicizing the moment or seeking to make money or income from it. But there is something about the allure of the faith healer that causes people to turn out. Sometimes even when the seedy underside of that faith healer has been exposed. And people, I guess it's because people find themselves desperate for healing. Maybe it's one of those things where the doctors have done all they can. Or maybe they don't have the money to seek a doctor's care or insurance to be able to get the extended care that they need. Or maybe it's an addiction that they just can't seem to kick. Or maybe they were born with a condition that simply isn't going to change. And there is that longing for health and for wholeness. And they seek out miraculous intervention. And today we're going to meet a woman who was in such a place. But her desperation isn't for herself. Her desperation is for her daughter. And the scripture tells us that her daughter suffered from a demon and that nobody around her could help her. Maybe they are refusing to help or maybe they just are kind of put off and scared of her daughter. But she hears of a traveling healer from a foreign land, and she knows what she must do. Now, this traveling healer happens to be Jesus, and he and his disciples have left Israel. They are no longer in Israel, and they are traveling toward the coastal areas of Tyre and Sidon. And if I had a slide, I'd be saying, look up here, but I don't have it. But it's up in the north, and it's on the coast, and it's actually in a part of the Syro-Phoenician area. So They've headed out that way. And there are some Pharisees and scribes who have made a long trek to go out and meet with Jesus and to meet with his disciples. And Jesus is making it difficult for them. Jesus is forcing these righteous men to go where they don't want to go, into that pagan area of the Syrophoenician. And it's in his encounter with these good, upstanding, righteous, religious men that he teaches about what makes a person righteous. He talks about it being the heart. You see, if earlier in the chapter, they're upset because Jesus and his disciples are eating and they haven't washed their hands properly. And Jesus says, you know, no amount of washing makes you clean, you know, and whatever you eat doesn't make you clean, you know. It's the condition of the heart, for it's out of the heart that come the things that make you unclean. And he's saying that no amount of keeping the rules about what you eat or how you wash or what you wear is going to keep you from defilement. But it's those things that emerge from within us. Evil intentions, murder, murderous thoughts, stealing, lying, false witness, sex in the wrong context. And he and his disciples depart from this encounter with the Pharisees and the scribes and this woman with her demonic daughter in tow sees her chance. And she's not a Jew. Scripture describes her as a Canaanite, a pagan woman. And she steps forward and begins to loudly cry out, "Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." And his disciples kind of act true to form. They want to send her away. But Jesus then makes this loud statement, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Sounds kind of stiff to me for Jesus, but he's saying it. And at hearing this, the woman kneels and humbles herself before the healer and says, "Lord, help me." And then Jesus, kind, sweet Jesus, the traveling healer, says something that kind of rubs us the wrong way because it doesn't sound like him. He looks at her and says, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." To which the woman boldly replies, "Yes, Lord, yes. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And I want us to pause here for a moment because there are a few interesting, thoughtful things that are going on in this story, especially right here at this moment. And the first part, as I mentioned, is that this doesn't sound like kind, nice Jesus. We don't want to think that Jesus would infer that this woman was a dog. Because in first century Palestine, that was one of the worst things that you could call a person. This does not sound like gentle, easygoing, loving Jesus. But I want us to look closer at what Jesus says. Have you ever thought about that metaphor? I mean, when dogs gather at the dinner table, what do they usually get? They usually get the food that children don't want. Now, I have yet to find a dog that will eat Brussels sprouts, those horrid little eyeball-sized cabbages that are unfit for human consumption, but oh, I'm sorry, that wasn't nice, easygoing Pastor Steve, was it? Yeah, don't get on my bad side. I have yet to find a dog that will eat Brussels sprouts, but my nephews have confessed that they often trick grandma and that they've eaten their food by scooping it into their napkin and dropping it into their lap and then handing it to their dog. Yeah, I've started to call the dog Hoover. The dogs usually get the food that the children don't want. And the Pharisees and the scribes, the righteous of Israel, are presented as adversaries to Jesus. And he has personally left, purposefully left Jesus after John the Baptist's death, possibly to get away from them. He's made it difficult. And they arrive and they have rejected Jesus' ways, they've rejected Jesus' message, and they have rejected Jesus' authority. And the woman, this Canaanite woman, what is her response to Jesus? She calls him Lord, she calls him Son of David, she calls him Master. She's an outsider. And yet she is the one who recognizes Jesus for who he is. And it's as a result of her faith in him that Jesus heals her daughter and commends the woman. And I ask you, who in this story is the lost one? Who is the lost sheep of Israel? And who is the dog? Who is the citizen of God's kingdom and who is the outsider? Who is righteous? The Pharisees and the scribes or the pagan woman? And this isn't a comfortable story. It kind of turns all our expectations upside down. And it's a common theme in Scripture. The ones who think that they know God, the ones who think they know about righteousness, about worship, about holiness, are revealed as being outside the kingdom of God. And the outsider, the one who is judged to be ignorant of God and inferior and lowly and dirty, is the one held up to us as faithful and is presented as the one who is has access to the kingdom of God. And it's uncomfortable, but the image does have power for us. The woman is in deep need, and she will stop at nothing to make sure that her need is met by the one who can meet it. You see, the woman makes some very bold steps. She has addressed a man in public. And while that may not have carried the same sort of consequences that it did in Jewish Israel, nonetheless, it was something that was not normally done. She professes faith in a teacher of a tradition that really wants nothing to do with her. She faces ridicule and possible public reprimand and punishment. And why? What causes her to be so tenacious? What causes her to be so bold? And it comes back to this. She wants healing, not for her, but for her daughter. And nobody has been able to help her. And then along comes Jesus, the great healer whose fame has spread before him. He's there, she sees him, and nothing is going to stop her, because she knows that her daughter's life depends upon it. Now, we're pretty good at compartmentalizing our faith in our lives. We tuck suffering away and we put on smiles and we come to church. And in the meantime, often we struggle privately with our demons or the demons of our family and friends. And we come to church and we hope to get the little bit of encouragement to make it through the next week. And maybe it's to check off the little box on what we think God expects of us. And we hope that it keeps us nice and pleasant in the middle of our struggles. But do we ever come desperate for healing? And when I mean desperate, I mean, are we ever at a place where we are willing to set aside our pride and to ask our brothers and sisters to anoint anoint us with oil and pray for healing through the power of the Holy Spirit. I mean, in James chapter 5, it says that if any of you is sick, let them be anointed with oil and have and be prayed over. For the prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful. Have we ever done that? Or do we keep silent? Silent out of fear that we might be ridiculed, or worse, that we might stick our necks out and our reputations out only to have nothing happen. See, today is a day that we can come before the Lord and ask for healing. And whatever your illness, whatever your addiction, whatever the behavioral pattern, whatever your worry that you wish to leave behind, God can help you with that. God can heal us. God can change us. But it does take a few things. It takes faith, that strange mix of belief and trust. It's not enough just to say, I believe that God can do that. The next step is to actually seek that out. And to do that, it takes vulnerability. You know, you can't keep it to yourself. And it takes boldness, that willingness to reach out, to cry out. And I have to be honest. It's good if your pastor is going to be honest with you. I can't guarantee that you will find that healing. Not everybody experiences a miraculous reversal of their disease. Not everybody experiences a miraculous release of an addiction. And not everyone experiences a miraculous resolve of their familial tensions or behavioral patterns. And I can't explain why. I don't know why that is. That's one of the questions I have for God when I come face to face with God, and hopefully I won't be shaking in my shoes so that I forget. But even without that guarantee, I want us to think, if God desires us to be whole, if God desires us to have an abundant life, to experience the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, then shouldn't we desire the same thing? And as we think about that, my prayer for us and for our church is that we would be a people of healing, a people who not only experience healing, but that our church would be known as a place where healing happens. May we be a part, and may we know it. Amen.